guys are. All right, we are. It's a 208. We'll go ahead and bring the meeting to order. We have a quorum. And let's go ahead and do a presentation.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
My second one today, so roll call.
Don Burek.
Present.
Eric Wayne. Alexis Federico.
She's running a couple minutes late.
Robert McDonald.
I'm here.
Catherine Morrison. Present. Michael Radigan. Stephen Vargas.
Here.
Stephanie Wade.
Here.
We have one.
Eight. All right, and this time we'll do public comments. If you would like to speak, you could fill out a speaker card. And I know we have Penny Lambert up. Patriots of all.
Yes.
Penny, come on up. Anything up in the corner there so we can all see? Right from the flag, Penny. We'll give you a nice picture of you. And let the record reflect Alexis is in attendance.
Good afternoon. My name is Penny Albright, and I'm the founder and CEO of Patriots and Paws. And I would like to get on next month's agenda to be able to talk about our Paws program. For those who don't know what Patriots and Paws does, is we provide home goods and furnishings to veterans, active military, and reservists at no cost throughout Southern California. And our Paws program is we are looking to provide a kennel to where veterans and active military would be able to kennel their animals at no cost through our PAWS program when they have a time of need, whether it be they're incarcerated in jail, mental health issue that they would need to kennel their animal or their moving or something like that. We would start with veterans, we would start with low-income seniors, we would work with the homeless, and we would work with victims of domestic violence, which, as you know, a veteran could be all of those. So we would like to be able to be on the agenda next month to address that, to look for your support, not financial, but support of yours and the veteran community. So thank you.
Okay. And then did you have a question?
No.
Okay. So thank you so much. If you could just send in to me or to the staff a little kind of a synopsis of what you're asking is, that would be do some research ahead of time. That would be awesome.
Thank you.
We also have Patty Mouton.
Want me to go by the flag again? Feels like I'm trying to get all the questions right. My name is Patty Mouton, and my day job is I serve at Alzheimer's Orange County as Vice President for Advocacy and Outreach. I've been there 20 years, but the last year I was very pleased and privileged to be appointed to the Older Adult Work Group Chair for the Orange County Veterans and Military Families Collaborative, and for Assemblywoman Lori Davies Veterans Advisory Council. And I belong to an American Legion auxiliary group as well, and I'm a military brat, practically born on the grounds of El Toro. And so I'm just trying to immerse myself in everything to do with veterans affairs and needs in Orange County, particularly those that are aging here. So it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Definitely. Thank you. And then we'll see in our minutes, we have different event coordinators and committees. So any communications, if you get them to our people, then we'll make sure we advertise it over the spot.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
All right. Executive committee reports. Okay. We have none. So we'll move on to our presentation, Senate update from Nick Bargain.
Is there two?
two bills, right? So thank you very much. And we'll first want to talk about AB 571, time of the legislative year that gets following. So, you know, we've been in committee, three committees so far with AB 571. And the purpose of that bill is to stop Larry Adrian and the city of Irvine from harassing us. I mean, that was it. I mean, think about what kind of condition we're in when we have somebody in a local city and a couple of city council members with him. They're basically just giving away everything we do, whether it's, you know, court, we have to go to court and they get kicked out of court. They've been kicked out of every committee, but they keep harassing us to the point that this California state legislature has to step in and say, we're going to make the property CEQA exempt to stop your stupid litigations and all the stuff that you're trying to do. I mean, that's a horrific, I mean, that's, what could be worse? What could be worse is that those city council people, which is James Mai, Mike Carroll, a new person who was just elected, Martinez is her name, and yes, she's terrible. Probably, I've been doing this since 1973. I have never met someone with such terrible, I mean, I could say, I mean, a quid pro quo. I mean, she, the first time I met, she threw a quid, I mean, the old days in Orange County, Mike Capizzi and even Tony Rack, we never, I mean, those kinds of things were like, you got stomped on, you know. But so they're terrorizing us. And so, not that terrorizing us, but so we had to have this legislation passed every committee unanimously. It got out of approach unanimously. In fact, it had so much support, there was even some question whether he wanted to take it to approach, just take it finance and get it out. But it passed approach unanimously. So today it was supposed to go to the assembly floor, you know, but today the governor has announced his May revise. And so, you know, everybody runs for the hills on May revise. But the county and the board of supervisors need help from this committee. And I talked to every board member, and to be very clear, you know, they really have so much confidence and faith in folks, you know. But what we're going to need a little help with is probably contacting at least those council members that, you know, Mai and Carol.
Betty.
And Betty. This Betty is the, I'm telling you, the worst ever I've met in since 1973. This is, what year is this? 2025. Where's the Alzheimer's lady? Oh, thank you. the worst I've ever met. I mean, just terrible.
So where do you think it's coming from? Like, I mean, I don't know. It's got the engines.
I'm sorry, go ahead and finish your presentation and then we're gonna open up the question.
Okay. So we got that through. We're gonna need some help. They are what they're going to do in terms after they saw 571, so it's all kind of related. What they decided to do was, okay, looks like we're getting our butts kicked in court and getting him. They're thinking they're going to put out a motion supported by this new council member. I don't know if that's me or not. Supported by this new, and here's William Goh, who's the city council member there, who's with us, who's with the veteran community. So they're going to put something on. They're saying, with the help of James Mai and Mike Carroll and Betty Nuthead, they're going to.
This is a public meeting. You have to.
I know. I'm just using my free speech. They're going to put that, they're going to build their own cemetery. They'll build their own veteran cemetery to compete with it. I mean, these guys are nuts. Anyway. So that's that bill. The other bill is our bill to allow Gold Star moms and veterans to have access at all the state parks. And so that bill flew out it just, I've talked to the Gold Star Moms who've been following it, and thank God for them. They have like, they're just so thankful. This is the first time they've ever really engaged in legislation, and it's new for them. They're very, of course, concerned about something new. But everything is flowing through. It's passed all the committees. It's gotten out. It'll get out on the Senate, we think, later this week. We anticipate zero problems in the Assembly. So we think we'll get that out too. So that'll be two great achievements. And I want to, you know, this bill that for the Gold Star Moms we talked about here before, talked about at this meeting. And so, as I mentioned to the board, I think, you know, this committee has been very strong in supporting that. It'll be a great legislative victory for everybody, including, you know, this committee. So.
And what is that bill? What is that bill name and number?
SB 55.
Okay.
So, you know, we're obviously always in the fight, but we could use letters of support for both of these bills. And, you know, in conjunction with, you know, the 571, if we could get some help too with the council, would be very, very helpful. We have unanimous support everywhere in the county board, every city council that's just done it. Let me push it here. So I'll take any questions if you like. Or
I can call away to go and thank him. I'm interested about Melinda Liu.
She's with us.
Good. And I want to understand, what do you think is driving Betty to be against this? I don't understand.
She made a deal with Larry Adrian
to get elected.
She said that she would sell us out to get elected. And that's exactly it. There's no other way to put it. That, because I know the deal, I met with her, with one of her funders who set the meeting up, and she made a quid pro quo, made a deal. And, you know, of course, it's always, always fruitful.
But then, and there's nothing in their principles or anything, right? I mean, like there isn't a platter.
It's like when you have people making these kinds of deals against veterans, it's pretty tough. Pretty tough to chew. But it happens, not really.
Then we have Catherine.
Actually, Stephanie answered my question.
Go ahead, John.
The conflict all stems from the El Toro Cemetery. Is that where this is?
Yeah, the conflict from? Stems from is Larry Adrian. I mean,
yeah.
The truth, he had a fight with five.
Yeah.
Adrian got caught. If you wonder where the conflict stems from, Adrian got caught with the allegations that he misspent $225 million. Because he was paying his, he was paying his attorney, I mean his campaign manager, $100,000 a month, throughout the lower four. He believes that Five Point was the one that ratted him out. He got kicked off of the council, got kicked off of Fair Board, or Fair Point, that was me, Fair Board, no, not the Fair Board, Great Park Board. He got kicked off of that. He thinks that it was Five Point that ratted him out. So Five Point wanted to build on this piece of property. He wanted to stop it. It was the artist side that was, you know, a toxic side. So he tried to put us on the toxic side, and we didn't want to go on the toxic side, but he made an initiative, passed it for the toxic site, and we said, okay, we can compromise half on the toxic site, half on the golf course site. Let's just build it up, compromise. He refused that compromise, and ever since then, it's been fighting us in the legislature, fighting in court.
Right. It all stems from the Gray Park.
Gray Park is...
Okay, this is, okay.
You got it.
And so I have one last question. When they take you to court, right?
Yes.
So you your organization is valid.
Yes,
we're all familiar with. But who pays for your legal costs?
Well, that? We have to pay for our own.
Because Valor has to do all this.
Right, but we were very fortunate in this last court battle. We have our own lawyers that we have to pay every month. And, you know, because you have to have good lawyers, particularly in a battle like this, it's been so political. Otherwise, you know, trouble. We're very, very fortunate for that. Lawyers that represent all the peace officers in the state, BORAC, represent the prison guards, all kinds of people represent us. And they do it for us almost pro bono. We only pay a small amount. But the county intervened in this suit, and Larry Agron fought them intervening. They intervened because they wanted to protect us, you know? And the judge, I mean, you know, Agron tried to keep the county out so he wouldn't pay. Judge looked at him and said, the county just gave you gave the cemetery $300 million worth of property and $22 million in cash. Yeah, I think they
had
a stand.
All right, thank you so much, Nick.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Well, I had one thing. So, assuming the CEQA exemption passes, which we don't have any reason to believe it wouldn't.
Right now, it's passing unanimously. Yeah.
Right. And so then, I guess the next step, I'm curious. So, other than supporting the bill that's on an action item, I mean, are we expected that whatever they're doing in Irvine with the competing cemetery is going to affect anything, or is it just whatever they want?
Yeah, I think if what it does affect, of course, is, you know, we don't want that. I mean, it's we want to have a cemetery here that's a veteran cemetery. It's recognized in that, you know, not have, well, we have a veteran cemetery. Oh, by the way, there's another one in Irvine that's not really, it's not sanctioned, won't be sanctioned. You can't get military benefits out of it if you want it.
All right. So then, Alexis, can you educate me on what is the process? So Nick, and we wouldn't do anything today, but Nick has asked for letters of support.
Mm-hmm.
So we, from this board, we could prepare a letter. And,
well, so it's already, yeah, I think
yeah.
It's attached to the agenda item. So what we would do, I mean, other than filling in like the letterhead, which I think we can just agree to do, we can actually, because it's an action item, vote on this today as a council. To recommend that the Board of Supervisors support this. So,
okay.
I mean, we can say that, I guess, for discussion.
We as OPED ask the Board of Supervisors support.
Correct.
You got it.
So, we write a letter
yeah.
to the Board.
Well, and so it is.
The draft
is attached right here. So, it's basically. Okay. So, it's not to the Board. I think we could. Does the board want us, can we put it directly to you? Well, no, I think my question is, because this is drafted to the assembly member directly, do we need to send it to the Board of Supervisors? Because we're supposed to recommend our support, and the Board of Supervisors is supposed to.
So first step is for the supervisors to take action.
Okay.
And so they've already publicly yeah. supported each of these bills.
Okay.
If they hadn't, you would not be able to support at this body.
Right, so since they've done it, we can do it. We're authorized. So we can basically send this as is and put off back and letterhead on here and vote on this today.
Good. Is there any opposition to doing that? Either of these bills? No? Okay, so could I ask for a volunteer to spearhead this? Make sure that these get done.
Well, if I could make a suggestion, maybe, and then you could fill me in. But I think we can just vote, just say, because this is an administrative thing, just filling in the letterhead
yeah.
and OCVAC, just filling in the highlighted portion. So we can verbally agree that that'll be done, and then all it takes. I mean, if you want one of us to do it, or county staff can take care of it.
We would normally take that on.
Okay.
So say you're really just focused on the context of the letter. If there's things that you want to suggest are changed, you would make those decisions today before you take final action.
Yeah, so I think the thing is, since we're discussing the first one, is that action item, we can have a discussion, see if anyone wants to add or propose a few revisions or changes. And then assuming not, someone can make a motion, we can second it, we can pass it, and from there the county staff can assist us with just filling this in and sending this on our behalf. Is that, you understand that? Okay. And then we'll move on and do the same thing for the next one.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's take this first one, AB 571.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to accept the Osage County OCVAC support of AB 571.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Okay, any changes to this particular language?
I mean, just who the addressee is.
Other than the highlighted the
letterhead, yeah. Just
date letterhead and then putting off back in and then signing this. I assume, Steve, this would be on your behalf as chair on behalf of off back.
Sure.
So other than that, those would be, that would be, so I can make a motion with those administrative changes and to.
Well, I think that staff understands that we just did that, so that's good. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought we were voting in support, not in changes, just to clarify. But yeah,
okay. As drafted. All right, and then on the 14 SB 55.
I'll move that we accept the OPEC support of 5-5.
And just if I can get a quick clarification. So the board has already formally supported this as well. Okay.
Okay. I'll just say that the state has a program for us for disabled veterans. Ben, what is the percentage of disability you have to be to get a free state parks pass?
50.
So I know I have it. It's great. I use it to surf all the time. But if I get it, man, Gold Star mom deserves a far more than that.
Gold Star families. So, yeah. Okay. And I'm sorry, Nick, if I could ask you for clarification. You had mentioned Gold Star families and I forgot the other term you use, maybe you just said
The bill includes the continues to include the veterans in the bill itself.
So it's Gold Star families.
Yeah, and veterans, you could say, whatever. But it's really Gold Star families would be the focus of the bill, and that's the author's focus.
Okay.
So it's
like this.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We have a motion and a second to accept the draft as prepared and direct staff to prepare this for signature. Any opposition? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Okay, thank you. Next item. Oops, is that check and check. And election of vice chairperson. So Eric Duane has been nominated by first district supervisor to serve again on this committee. And thank you all for your support for reaching out and make sure that happens. And he's also sent in a letter accepting the nomination for vice chair. So first, let's have a nomination. So anybody who would like to be nominated for vice chair of this committee? And would like to be vice chair? Anybody at all would like to be vice chair? I will nominate Eric Wayne to be the vice chair. Can I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Wayne, now, right hand.
Okay. Hand is back.
Yeah. Yeah. Trade me in on a ring.
Well, all right. Good. That's the action item.
Always. It was a close call.
It's still Navy.
All right. Orange County Veterans Service Officer update. Eric.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for having me here today. So today I want to highlight two big programs in my eyes for the VSO, one of them being the Veteran Service Office itself. We've had about a 15% growth in the VSO just last year, which is pretty substantial and successful for the office. Scheduling and having the training folks on making sure that everything that families can get to it sooner and actually get to claims filed while shopping as well as those recoveries. The other program is under the Mental Services Act grant that we've had over the last year. I actually have a PowerPoint presentation, so I'm going to move away from the flag and over to the chorus. So sorry if my back is to everyone. So, as I talk about the successes of the mental health services grant, we have one person who's Caitlin Leach. She is the role of Thanks for helping me with this grant and serving our veterans who are interested in services that may contribute to barriers before getting access to resources. Orange County Veterans Service Officers have been awarded funding through the Mental Health Services Act of $300,000. CalVet, we petitioned to apply for that grant last year for a grant of $300,000 for its implementation for fiscal year 24-26. So it's a two-year grant to do some enhancements to service delivery for veterans by incorporating veterans case management and navigator within the program. That navigator was referred to, and I referred to as a navigator, is supposed to serve 180 veterans, military, and families per year who require access to mental health system of care. So that's a lot of our local services as well as the federal VA and the county. The navigator is engaged and involves local coordination with community partners, case management, and ongoing wraparound services to narrow gaps veterans and military families might experience in getting access to available resources that they may not be aware of. So since September 2024, the grant was granted to be effective July 1st of 2024. Kaylin came on board in September and she had the ground running. She exceeded her first year of the expectation of the grant. As our goal sought to serve and streamline access to resources and remove barriers to receiving mental health or behavioral health services. Targeted care coordination has been a central element to connecting with the Veterans Service Office, getting those linkages. That was a huge success in implementation for the project to make sure that veterans had equitable access to us, as well as helping veterans and their families get to the services and care that they want. We have an intentional focus to connect with underrepresented groups of veterans, to connect with the navigator to understand how this entire system works, because we know that there's so much information out there. A lot of people were trying to figure out how best navigate to get access. And Caitlin's role has been a very helpful and strategic placement for us to be able to include getting veterans access to VA healthcare enrollments, county services, and our county partners who serve veterans and their families directly. So these are our target populations of underrepresented groups. To date, we've served 29 women who served, 7 who identified with the LGBTQ community, 37 justice-involved veterans, 2 people identified in the Native American community, communities of color. We had 112 folks that Caitlin was connected with to provide access to behavioral health services, 67 older adults. That are getting access and case management, as well as providing navigation to a lot of our services. Our veterans who are unhoused or at risk of being homeless, we have 66. Of that number, 7 have already had their housing or had housing issues resolved. And then one of the strong points for us are the less than honorable folks, character of discharge, who face significant barriers to getting access to all types of services. We have 45 of those that we've served at this point. So our scope of services and our goals. Over the last 7 months, the navigator has served 266 veterans who have previously encountered barriers accessing behavioral health services or addressing legal issues. So we do have legal services tied to us as a subrecipient to be able to provide a way for veterans and their families who have legal barriers to talk to and get counseling through a legal services provider. This has been able to help remove some of the barriers that, for instance, our character discharge issues that come up. We do file claims for those to make sure they have access to VA healthcare. The upgrades and discharges are a whole nother matter before the Department of Defense. So we get a chance to have legal counsel, along with us being able to help guide some of that so those veterans can either have an upgrade or a correction military record done.
So Eric, have you upgraded any discharges at this point in the last year?
In the last year, so again, with a character discharge, there the timeline for getting those done and why the legal services are important for us is because it's 1 to 3 years. That process is really intricate and it's challenging. So we want to make sure that we do a lot of that discovery up front, getting access to VA being able to correct service and that allow access to healthcare. Once that is established, we get a chance to actually have a conversation with legal services on the best approach to try and help get there. They being the legal arm can discuss with us whether or not the service was found honorable by VA and whether or not there was some injustice done by the Department of Defense to allow the correction military rescue to take place. So the 1 to 3 years is substantial. It's about a standard. The last one I've done took about 14 months.
So if a person has mental health issues and needs help, what do they do for that 1 to 3 years?
Counseling. And with the navigator being able to at least with access to healthcare,
we get to serve them throughout.
You just get additional benefits if you get that discharge.
Sure.
The key element for the character discharge determination by VA is to allow Chapter 17 eligibility for healthcare. So once that starts, we're really on our way for the rest of the discovery about the injustice for it. So as I said, CalVet granted the DSO Mental Health Services funds in April of 2024 for implementation in July. Since then, starting in September with the Navigator, she had an opportunity to hit the ground running to be able to really connect with those families. If you look at the chart, a lot of the veterans and their families were applying within those 2 months, saying that they identified as needing access to resources and services. We had that opportunity to go back and connect with those veterans through Caitlin to make sure they had access to those healthcare support, those behavioral health services that they wanted, including access to housing. So we had this huge spike our first year, and I'm going to say our first 7 months, 266 is substantial. We've already exceeded the grant requirements for the year, and we still have about seven weeks left towards the end of the fiscal year. And those numbers are going to continue to climb. Here's some more stats, some of what we already covered. Again, one of the things about our legal services, so we have the Veterans Legal Institute, who's sub-recipient on the grant. So that funding, that 300,000 portion of that funding is going towards those legal services. We are in the process of trying to get to a secondary arm to just focus on upgrades and discharges. We have so many currently that are coming through the door that require assistance. Dedication of time that's needed with not just following claims, but also getting an opportunity to connect those veterans to the needed resources within the community or county services, as well as healthcare with VA and following claims is huge. That is part of the discovery part to be able to prep for the potential upgrade or discharge of correction military record. But also, we're serving across the spectrum other populations. Student veterans being another key element for students who are also veterans as well as their families. That's about it. Any questions?
Questions?
Thank you.
All right, Ben.
Hey, sir. Good afternoon, everyone. Just kind of stand on something Eric was just talking about. I had a chance to do an event with Caitlin, the Navigator at the Patriots and Paws pretty recently, and I could really see firsthand the experience for a veteran that wants to connect with the VSO, with someone from the VSO right there. it really makes a big difference. If it's much more than someone in the community, but Caitlin is there that can really facilitate that direct appointment access. And so it's really it's a great program. She's doing a lot of great work. So our big news, you've been hearing me talk about the California Veterans Health Initiative for a while, providing updates. That's our $50 million in veteran mental health money. Last Tuesday, Orange County actually hosted the first grantee conference, and I had a chance to attend. So that was very exciting. So, you know, a lot of names that probably many of you have heard of across the state, Swords to Plowshares, Veterans Village San Diego, U.S. Vets, Child Guidance Center, all attended, but some couple others too. Basically, in the process of implementing their grants right now, some of which are coming just in the upcoming month or so. So it's very big news. I'm guessing some of you have seen, even in the broader media, the discussions of delay times for veterans accessing mental health care at the VA. So as we all know, there are issues around providing access with our local systems. And so this will hopefully provide kind of a needed bonus that we want to have. So that's really my main update. If there's any questions for me? Or...
questions for Ben? Good. Thank you. And Caitlin, we've met her once before, but anytime that she's, you know, she's available, we'll bring her, so we can just get more familiar with her. But it's going to be around for a couple of years.
She'll be around for one. At least looking forward to
it. Maybe till 2026. So
they have a lot more work to do.
Sure. Thank you. All right, Lynn.
Well,
what's your bets?
Caitlin should be here to hear all the great things that we're all saying about her, but having been a very close partner with the VSO and working closely with Caitlin, she's wonderful. And without having the exact numbers, we have had a lot more referrals to our program through Caitlin, but a more direct communication line between our staffs and Caitlin to ensure that we are able to connect with the veterans, which sometimes if we get a referral, we'll get a referral, but then it doesn't go anywhere because we can't find them. But having Caitlin there to help support that linkage has been really wonderful. So after all that good news, I have different sort of news. Our OC for Vets program is sunsetting on June 30th, 2025 this year. So the things that Eric and what Ben were speaking of are going to be very important for ongoing care for veterans. So I have here also my managers from my team to maybe go into a bit more detail if needed on the subject. So I have, I don't know if you want me to come up.
Sure. It's your update.
Sure. I have my health services manager, Elizabeth Jamie, and our senior health services manager, Tracy Rick. And they are here to maybe, I don't know if you want to discuss further or if you wanted to field questions.
If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer. I think one of the things that I'd like to extend is, while the OC for Vets program is closing June 30th, that doesn't mean that the services to veterans is going away. So the facility itself, the program is closing. It just is going to allow us an opportunity to expand services within the county of origin. So we'll continue to serve our severe mentally ill veterans, and it's just going to be services that will be provided throughout the county of Ward, which is not only what was provided through OC for Vets.
Okay, so that's June 30th. So what happens, let's see, we're dark in July, right? So August, what happens in August? How do we get an update from healthcare agency? Would you? All right, thank you. In our standing committees, Bobby, your communication standing committee.
I have news for you.
Do you have a communications report?
pass it to them.
Hey, pardon? Yes, it's a varsity presentation. It's a varsity presentation.
They're all pictures of you.
That's the reason why it's a varsity presentation. All right, everybody should have a copy. You can have my copy when I'm finished. Okay, thank you. All right, this is your communications committee update as of today. Current news. The Healthcare Veterans and Community Services Committee, as was formed by the Association of California Cities for Orange County for Healthcare Veterans and Community Services, thanks to Ms. Kent Morrison over here. The committee will be chaired by Mr. Howard Hart, who is a veteran, and the mayor, I believe, is of San Juan Capistrano, or council member now. Okay. Down below is a link for the Orange County ACCOC, Healthcare Veterans and Community Services Committee. So they will have information from them by that. So speaking about communication, this allows us to take more information out to the community for all 34 municipalities in regards to veterans. And they've done well enough, thanks to some key people in the veterans community, to make sure this happens. Right, that's your updated news. Right below on the mental health symposium we just had, I wanted to make sure that they were part, ACCOC was part of that, and that's the group of veteran women that came out to the mental health symposium that we had back on March 6th. And by the way, I'm not in that picture. Yeah. Number two page, real quick. I attended the San Diego High School ROTC on behalf of the VFW. And it just gives you a couple of people, an idea of what's happening, and then a couple of students, cadets, that we gave a proclamation to. I happen to have been able to do the Pledge of Allegiance at the State of the City for Anaheim, and you see me holding something that happens to be, because it was celebrating April 30th, that I'm holding up some dirt that I got from the neck. The next picture was Operation Frequent Wind. It was at Irvine, at the Leatherneck Museum. Got a chance to attend that, and I, the former Madam Chair Emeritus, and I were both there with the governor. The neat part about it, we were talking about him, the guy who made the presentation. He was awarded USS Tripoli in 1971, so that makes him a youngster, because I was there in 67, 68.
Colonel Jerry Berry threw the last shot out of the end.
The last one.
That aircraft that is at the Leatherneck Museum.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, and last aircraft with the ambassador.
So that is James May in the lower left-hand corner, is it not?
Yeah, that's James Nye and my chair. Bobby doesn't know how to
fix the
picture yet.
So if they're so supportive of the veterans, it'd be interesting that they're
Let me keep on with my report. Y'all can do what you want to do with that. You tell Nick over there.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, you know, but
all right,
when you're doing what you're doing, all right. And also, on the Nixon Library did a big presentation also with all the veterans for Vietnam veterans. And so, I had a chance to be there for that. And below, Nick didn't mention. But May the 2nd, we had Assemblywoman Sharon Clark Silva had a Veterans Cemetery overview, and those were the individuals that were there. Next page, the Board of Supervisors did a special Vietnam Veterans presentation with Vietnam Veterans, and thanks to Janet Lynn and the rest of the Board of Supervisors. Last weekend, I didn't have anything to do, so I decided to go to the Chapman University Veterans Graduation over the American Legion in Orange and pass up and be part of the program from the VFW. The Chapman, and they just got a brand new program over there for veterans. In fact, the Army veteran, Steve Leader, used to be the veterans resource guy over at Coastline, over at Concordia. All right, and then he was in for the other Vietnam program we did over at Heroes Hall. We brought in two individuals that helped with the refugees in Camp Pendleton, and one of the pilots that was there, they spoke.
I haven't been very, very, I remember I told you I brought some dirt back, got some dirt from Janae. I was stationed at, I was on Marble Mountain, so that's where the dirt came from. And then I had a friend of mine who was in Vietnam, and I asked, they said that they had already gone to Saigon and Danang, but they're on their way to Hanoi. So they brought me back some dirt from, guess what? That picture down at the bottom left hand corner is the shrine where John McCain's plane went down. He went down in that lake. So there's a shrine there now. So that's that, I wanted to put that. All right, next page was, how about last night? I was at the Orange High School Cadets Marines they had last night. And on May 21st, I'll be doing the keynote speaking at Orange Coast College Memorial Day Program. May 23rd, the Newport Harbor High School Memorial Day Program, I'll be part of that ceremony. On the 26th of May, I'll be the master of ceremonies at the City of Anaheim's VFW program. And Joe Pack, who helped chair the Korean War Memorial, asked him to be our keynote speaker. That same day, I won't be able to hear, but Catherine Morris will be doing the Memorial Day at Lake Forest. She'll be
mission,
a keynote speaker.
Mission. Yeah.
Well, I was in the I'm sorry. It's the same as Cindy. Okay, I'm sorry. It's mission day. I am sorry.
Don't worry.
All right. And then on the bottom line, for those, if you look at the on the bottom line, the Memorial Day program in Orange County, there's a link that I add stuff to that has all of the local College County Memorial Day events. You can go there for each one of the cities. So if you want to go to Lake Forest instead of Mission Day, okay. And also, in my next big report, you'll see that there's one also for Veterans Day. So I'm working on that. And the last page, June the 8th, be part of the City of Anaheim Flag Day Parade. And on June 14th, there'll be two Flag Day programs I'll be involved with at the City of Irvine, which I found out today will probably be 10:30. And then I'll have nothing to do. I'll drive down to Dana Point and do the same thing. And so, and the last thing, and I want to make this be, it's important because it's the 60th anniversary of the worst Orange County air disaster. In 84, 84 men went down, 17 Marines, 12 airmen, crashed right before Loma Ridge during the rain. On a supposed, well, we don't know where it's headed, but it's going to be. With those Marines, and I just want to kind of bring that to the attention. And that's the group shot, thanks to Todd Spitzer and Martha Ochoa. We got a chance to take the group on the 50th anniversary up there to bring them some closure for their families. And so that's the group shot, and then that little rock there with some people put some of that thing, put some notices. But having gone on that trip and gone up there, it's still kind of hollow ground. You still can find metal pieces and stuff. But Mr. Chairman, that is
okay, so again. James, did he? Okay. All right. I want to get that to him. He works for Young Tim's office. All right. Events Outreach Senate Committee, Michael Redd. Michael Redd is not here. So we'll find that out. And then our Veterans Pet Ad Hoc Committee.
I'm going to sort of throw up my hands here and say, I really just. In the beginning, it sounded like a simple fix that there was a problem that appears not to exist. But then, you know, there might be some work to be done, but it's just sort of beyond me to pull together all the resources that are and aren't available for, you know, veterans in trouble with housing.
Yeah.
You know, and I reported on some of those things as we've gone along, because the initial idea was that we were understood that, you know, a great deal of or a significant number of veterans were turning out from supportive housing because they weren't able to bring this back. We find that that's not the case. And then the only obstacle is essentially when their pets come to the shops and are legal. But even then, there are many pro bono opportunities. And if your city is served by the county will take care of all that for free. Am I right, Penny?
Yes and no. So there are opportunities for them to get shots of them. There's an organization called HARP that will help with that, but they're limited to their funding, so they're just depends, you know, once a month they do at the county shelter on Thursdays. They will do shop within, we're working with them on our program that we're trying to work together, and they are limiting, they have limited funds to do spay and neuters, and we're working on finding them veterans that are needing to get spay and neuters with them. So they'll be a part of our presentation.
Sure.
I mean, if you want me to close the loop on it, I can write that up for our next meeting and just basically say that.
Yes, I was just going to ask if you could do a final report, and it was a one pager that like a white paper on that. Then we'd be keeping it in our history file, so and educate us as well. So we'd come up with some things. We'd say, oh, but at least some of the organizations have it out there.
Gotcha.
Thank you. And then we'll wrap that committee up next month. All right. Is there anything else to? We're going to go through the council comments. Any other comments from the staff? Good. Start with you, Eric. You got any final comments?
No.
All right, let's go around the room. Alexis.
No, Bobby stole my thunder. So.
yeah, Sally, you were quite few of those pictures. Yeah, that one gentleman with the halo looked like a. Eastwood, didn't
yeah, a little bit. He's in phenomenal shape.
Yeah,
it was great. It was really fascinating listening to him speak and kind of recount that perspective and just the impact it's had on him and his life. And he gave a great historical, unbiased view of the conflict and, you know, the competing narratives and stuff. So it was a phenomenal program. And of course, being able to honor Vietnam veterans as a whole was very important for us to continue to do. So, yeah.
Well, I want to thank the City of Mission for allowing us to use this great facility. It's, you know, it's very easy to work with, and I'm sure we can do this again. It's also the home of VFW 6024 my post. This is we don't have a facility like Dana Point, but you know,
Dana Point lets them in their city council, which is why
they're okay.
It's right. Their city building.
Okay. So but what's really nice is that we do get to house all of our events here. Just to highlight a little bit of what 6024 is, they're very involved in the community. They're going to be at the Mission Viejo Memorial Day ceremony. They have a color guard. They'll also be doing that next month for Flag Day. And then I don't know if we've talked about it, but the California Department Convention for the VFW is going to be actually in Orange next month from June 16th to June 22nd.
I got two things. On the negative side, I think we're all worried about changes at VA, especially 83,000 people being laid off, call centers coming away. But I'll just tell you one change I've immediately felt. Last week, I received a second communication from VA. This one was about my scheduled follow-up on a mammogram because they found some irregularities. But for the first time, these two communications refer to me as Mr. So that's a change we've seen. That's a real change. On a happier note, I will say that I got to go to France since we last met and spent a lot of time in Paris and in particular spent a day in Normandy, which has always been on the bucket list. I went to Pointe du Lac, which I remember sketching as a little kid. It was amazing. But the biggest takeaway from the entire trip for me was I have a lifelong sort of Francophobia, and like most people in the military, I made fun of the French, and I expected French people to be rude and curt, especially the Parisians. Nothing could be further from the truth. Everyone was wonderful to us, and in particular, it was really touching to see, we're talking a lot about our need for our cemetery, the manner in which the Veterans Cemetery in Normandy, the U.S. Cemetery in Normandy, which they have a staff of 18 gardeners who literally do all the topiaries and the trees and even cut the grass by hand. It's really incredible. So I suggest it if you get a chance, visit.
Yeah. We're going in October, specifically. Cool. So I had a opportunity to go to a assisted living in Brea, Brookdale, and then followed up with, because of the management company, they had one in Orange, so that they had one the next month over there. More to just outreach to the veterans. They have a monthly veterans breakfast, the people that are staying at this assisted living. Anyway, so I asked them about do they have a claims file, right? And at both of these facilities, they said, oh no, we have too much money set aside. You know, because when you're an assisted living, you still have money in the bank, you know, your resources that you're going to turn over to your heirs, I guess. But I said, no, I'm talking about disability. And they're like, oh, it's not allowed for us. There's a complete misunderstanding about it. They're talking about care and attendance, that, you know, that has income restrictions on it, right? But if you have a disability that was, you know, caused by the military, pick a hearing, all of them got hearing. So there's a niche out there, and so you, Eric, can we go out to actual to assisted living facilities or?
Do you have a point of contact with that?
No, I'm just saying, is that something that we're able to do, or what? Can we send out VSOs if they once a month to get a list or start a list? Or?
We've not been mobile in that sense, but we do have an active point where people don't have to the office if they're incapable, uh-huh. and can do a virtual, a phone call. And we can do the same thing in Washington. So we have everything, walk-ins, appointments, scheduled appointments, phone calls, virtual. And they work very well for us. They have to have people who are older adults
sure.
who are not able to come down.
Okay. Is there an outreach program at all?
Not currently. Yeah.
Because that sounds like you're just a lack of understanding of what your great services are within the DSO.
And a lot of those assisted livings, you know, they can't go to Orange, or not to Orange, to Santa Ana. You know, they physically can't get there.
They may not know that you need virtual appointments. I mean, thinking back to the OC Veterans data report that we saw in January, I mean, 75 plus is the largest population of veterans in Orange County. I don't know how many of those are in assisted living, but I think there's, I mean, you raise a good point. Like, if their kids aren't telling them and the facility isn't telling them, like, how are they getting that information?
Sure.
That's a population that isn't going to immediately say, oh, do a virtual appointment.
Well, there's a technology disconnect also from that age group also.
But these systems have staff there that can do it more.
Yeah.
And so,
right.
But I'll include you on that. Right. Just kind of push that out.
That's what I'm saying. There's a facility director that we can ensure a sort of site.
And if I may, just it becomes a broader issue too. You know, obviously, great for the VSO to support as much as possible, but I think that there are other entities that should be bearing some of that work as well. You know, that's a big workload, and I think that you think about Council on Aging, Office on Aging, Alzheimer's OC, the Collaborative, all playing a role, and whatever it is, even making sure that there's just fundamental flyers that can get out to those communities at the starting. But that's at like the minimum level, and hopefully some more in-person outreach. And I think that's a broader community task to address.
Okay, wouldn't the VSO office work with, you know, through those groups and say, hey, you have virtual appointments available?
I mean, as you mentioned earlier, so the mental health services act, older adults are part of that group representative group. You know, they connect in that manner. The navigation and coordination then comes with these other organizations as well.
So, can you help me just flesh that out some more over this next month? We'll talk about that and figure out how we can do that outreach to assisted living facilities that are in each of our communities. Perfect. All right, if there's nothing else come for the meeting, we'll go ahead and adjourn. And let me make another comment. Okay, so we recognize the staff, you go from your base in Santa Ana to out to wherever we send you, you know. We enjoy doing this because it gets us a chance to go and see the rest of, you know, what are veterans doing in other parts of our community. At the Seal Beach home, we had a bunch of veterans there So that was awesome. Lynn, this is your neck of the woods, so it's good to come down this far. So we respect your, that's why we're kind of keeping it quick. But let us know if it's a burden, because we'd like to continue to go to these efforts. All right. Good. All right, with that, we'll go ahead and adjourn. Thank you. We'll figure out our fee. So, anybody has any ideas?
What's interesting about that last issue?